pray together. Our Father in heaven, we do praise you that we have opportunity to hear from your word this morning. Thank you that, according to your promise in this very chapter of Isaiah, that your word will not return void, but will accomplish the purpose for which you sent it. And we thank you for that, and we hang on to that, that you will work in our midst as you have purposed through your word and by your Holy Spirit. Pray that you give us insight to your word, to understand it, but more than that, that we would trust your promises, that we would love your word that you have given us, and most of all, that we would love you. So do your work, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen. So our text for today is Isaiah 55, verse 6. We'll be reading the entirety of the chapter, Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55, this is God's word. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk, without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. Indeed, I have given him as a witness to the people, a leader and commander for the people. Surely you shall call a nation you do not know, and nations who do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out with joy and be led out with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress tree, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. I want you today to imagine God's people as a castle. We are inside, protected by God. Outside is the world, the wicked, the people who do not belong to God. In the Old Testament, the castle was the nation of Israel. Outside were the nations, the Gentiles. Like any good modern castle, our castle has cannons. They blast out God's word against wickedness and evil. As you would probably imagine as we read through the Old Testament, God aims the cannons at the wicked nations outside the castle walls. But surprisingly to us, as we read the Old Testament, he often reverses the cannons and takes aim inside the castle at the people who live there. The book of Isaiah begins by calling God's people to account for their sin. God, in Isaiah chapter 1, calls them Sodom and Gomorrah, which were the wicked cities that God destroyed by fire. In fact, a majority of the prophets in the Old Testament are not blasting away at the wicked nations outside the castle walls, but in fact, they are blasting away at the evil of God's people inside the castle. It would be easy for us to read through the Old Testament and miss the warnings that we need to hear. We could easily say, oh, our nation needs to repent and turn back to God. Think about all the judgments that's coming to them there outside the castle walls. And we miss the warnings that we must hear. When we say, oh, God's just warning those people outside the walls, we reverse at times the cannons that God has aimed right at us inside the walls. In the New Testament, God is working with the church. And outside our castle are the people who do not belong to Jesus. And yes, sometimes the cannons are pointed outside the castle walls, warning unbelievers of the coming judgment. But often, the warnings are to God's people, the church, inside the castle walls. If you have been with us in our Revelation series in the evening, you remember Jesus' letters to the seven churches in the province of Asia. Out of the seven churches, five are warned by Jesus. He rebukes them for their sin and error. The cannons are faced in the castle. Again, why does this matter? Because we could read vast swaths of the Bible and think we are safe and do not hear the rebuke and challenge that God has preserved for us in the Word of God. Do not think you're safe once you've said a prayer and joined the church. Not only do we need to hear the rebukes from the Bible to God's people, but we also need to hear the gentle call of our Savior to come to Him and find rest for our weary souls. So this message today is a call for Christians to seek the Lord while He may be found. Not to be re-saved or anything like that, but to come to the Lord. As Martin Luther said, the great reformer, all of the Christian life is to be one of repentance, of turning again to the Lord and following Him. Now, perhaps you've never made a decision to follow Jesus Christ. This message is for you too, because you need to get inside the castle for safety. If you want to follow Jesus and find safety from judgment and hell, you need to forsake your sins and trust Jesus to save you. Now, if you've made that decision to trust Jesus, to follow Him with your life, the call is still this: seek the Lord while He may be found. This message is for everyone, for you and for the neighbor down the pew. So our text today is verse 6. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. So I want to ask three questions about our text to find out the truth that God wants to teach us today. Number one, why should we seek the Lord? Number two, what does it mean to seek the Lord? And number three, why should we seek the Lord now? So number one, why should we seek the Lord? Now, we started into Isaiah 55 2 months ago. In the first two verses, we are invited to water. Thirsty people are invited to water, and hungry people are invited to a free feast. And these, the picture of water and a feast, are pictures of salvation that God is offering to all people. Now here in verse 6, we begin a new section of this chapter. Isaiah is stating in plain terms what is offered to us back in verses 1 to 2. Come to the waters is now seek the Lord while He may be found. Now this offer of salvation is based on what happens in chapter 53. The suffering servant, whom we now know as Jesus, bore the sins of His people so that they could be forgiven. And in chapter 54, Israel, God's people, are called to come back to Him. And in chapter 55, all people are invited to come to God for salvation. So why should we seek the Lord? The first reason why we should seek the Lord is because we are wicked. Because we are wicked. Again, we could answer the question by just reading on in the text. Verse 7, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. We are born sinners, and we show that by sinning many times and many ways throughout our lives. Without God's intervention, we will die in our sins and be punished in hell forever. Whether you're coming to God for the first time or have been walking with him for decades, we are sinners and need to return to our God. Our sin and evil in our lives are not God's problem. However, God stands waiting with arms wide open to welcome any sinner who would come to him. Why should we seek the Lord? Number two, because there is abundant pardon. Notice how verse 7 continues, "Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Now, we've talked about this abundant pardon before. In verses 1 to 2, there's a free and abundant feast for anyone who would come. It doesn't cost anything. In verse 3, we talked about the guarantee of salvation. God says, "I will make a covenant with you. I will guarantee forever your salvation. You need to come to me." God is not a stingy God. God is waiting for sinners to return to him. Do you remember the story of the prodigal son or the lost son? Now, he took his inheritance money and blew it all on parties and prostitutes. Then he came to his senses. Jesus says this in Luke 15 about the son. "And he arose and came to his father, and when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'" And that's the joy that is waiting when a sinner returns to God. So number two, what does it mean to seek the Lord? What does it mean to seek the Lord? Well, you would think that the answer is obvious. God doesn't make us jump through 5 dozen hoops and fill out a stack of paperwork to come to him. But because we are sinners, we can deceive ourselves and use God for our own purposes and plans instead of coming to him with no strings attached and on God's terms. So what does it mean to seek the Lord? First, it means to ask him for help. Ask him to help. It means to call on him. That's the second part of verse 6. Call upon him while he is near. Again, that call is often a cry for help. To do this, we must turn from our self-sufficiency. So if we're crying to the Lord for help, for salvation, we can't turn to ourselves and seek salvation and betterment by our own strength. To call on God, we need to recognize that we cannot help ourselves, and only God can help us. I love these words from Psalm 81. God says to his people, "I am the Lord your God, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it." God is not looking for self-sufficient people. He is looking for hungry people. Then he goes on, "Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. But he would feed you with the finest of wheat and with honey from the rock. I would satisfy you." So God is waiting to satisfy and fill people. And we can't come if we're full of ourselves. So to ask God to call on the Lord to seek him means to ask him for help as people who are not self-sufficient. Now, in the last few months, my family and I have felt kind of like milk a few days past its expiration date. You know, you open it up and you're like, not so sure about it. Maybe I can use it for one more breakfast and I'll be okay. We'll have to go to the ER. So, you know, you're wondering if it's usable or it's time to toss it. You know, you're on the edge of viability. And that's how we have often felt with everything that's been going on. But that's how God wants us. It's a very unsettling feeling knowing that, you know, we're on the edge of viability. God wants us not self-sufficient, but broken and needing help. So what does it mean to seek the Lord? It means to call on him, but it also means to turn from self-seeking. To turn from self-seeking. Now, we can easily turn God into a genie and use him to try to get things that we want. We can come to church and be religious, but be actually seeking something else instead. Now, this is nothing new, people being religious for their own selves. It happened in Isaiah's day, and it happens today. If you want to turn forward in your Bibles to Isaiah 58, Isaiah 58, it's very interesting because this word seek is used again, but it's kind of disturbing. Isaiah 58, we'll read the first three verses. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet. Tell my people their transgression, and tell the house of Jacob their sins. So tell them they're sinners. Look at verse 2. Yet they seek me daily. Same word as in Isaiah 55, 6. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways. Wow, they sound like they're great Christians. As a nation that did righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinance of justice. They take delight in approaching God. Like, wow. I mean, you would think these are model church members in Isaiah's day. Verse 3, why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen? Why have we afflicted our souls, and you take no notice? In fact, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exploit all your laborers. And the text goes on to show that these people are seeking the Lord, yet they are oppressing their neighbors and taking advantage of them. And God rebukes them for that. But think about, these people sought the Lord daily. They even fasted, probably on a weekly basis. I mean, that's more that can be said for the American church. We're kind of scared to even talk about fasting. But what is the problem with these people in Isaiah 58? They are seeking their own pleasure even as they pretend to seek God. What's the problem? They are abusing people made in God's image so that they could get rich and get ahead. God sees right through their deception and calls them to repent. And this passage in Isaiah 58, along with many other passages in the Bible, is why I am content to call a church full of Christians to come to Jesus. Because we can use God and church to try to get ahead in life. It used to be in our culture, being a Christian was an advantage socially. Now that's on the margin now. But we can easily do that, to use God to try to get ahead. We can look like Christians and continue to seek money and pleasure instead of God. So the call still stands to you today. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Last question, question number three. Why should we seek the Lord now? Why now? The first answer to that is because death is coming. Because death is coming. Every breath you take is a gift from God. If you don't belong to Jesus, he is giving you a chance to repent of your sins and trust him. If you do belong to Jesus, he is giving you another day, another chance to fight against sin and grow as a Christian. You may not have another chance after today. Many of you are probably familiar with the verse 2 Peter 3:9. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, when I hear this verse quoted, it's often in a cannons faced outside the castle context. Like all those wicked people out there, God is being patient so that you can repent. I think is a good application of that verse. However, did you notice the pronoun that Peter uses? He is long-suffering toward us. Some other modern translations will say you. Either way, it doesn't matter. He is speaking to the readers of 2 Peter. And who are they? the first verse of the book, to those who obtain the like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's talking to Christians, and he's saying, the Lord is long-suffering. He is patient with you so that you could come to repentance. So God's patience is for believers to seek him while he may be found. Dear friends, it is easy to get caught up in our lives and in this world, and we forget about Jesus and his coming. So the call is today to wake up, to seek the Lord while you still have time. Why should we seek the Lord now? Secondly, because judgment is coming. Now, the book of Isaiah ends similar to how the book of Revelation ends. God promises to create a new heaven and a new earth. He promises to judge his enemies. Now listen, you're welcome to turn there all the way to Isaiah 65, if you want to. Isaiah 65, 17. These are quoted in Revelation. Isaiah 65, 17 says, "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered or come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem as a rejoicing and her people a joy. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. The voice of weeping shall no longer be heard in her, nor the voice of crying." Very similar to how Revelation 21 begins. So God says, there's a time coming when I'm going to make all things new. However, this is very interesting. Do you know how Isaiah ends? Isaiah 66, 22. Isaiah 66, 22. "As for the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, says the Lord, so shall your descendants and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord." And this is the last verse. "And they shall go forth and look upon the corpses of the men who have transgressed against me, for their worm does not die, and their fire is not quenched. They shall be an abhorrence to all flesh." Why should we seek the Lord while he may be found? Because there's a time coming when judgment is coming, and everyone outside the castle will go to eternal judgment, and those who belong to Jesus to an everlasting joy. So today, you're alive and breathing. You have a chance to come to Jesus. As our verse says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, I pray that we would not seek you only for our own interest, but that we would seek you for you. Father, I pray that you would, that we would not find safety in the fact that we are religious and come to church, but that we'd find safety in you. So Lord, I pray that our lives would be lives of daily repentance from sin and a daily seeking of Jesus Christ. I pray that he would be honored in how we live our lives. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.